Set up if you want to turn to Micah 6. That's where our class will be tonight. Micah 6. I know there's a few of you that have not been in my morning class. Would anyone like a handout on Micah? Yeah, I got a few of them there. But you can't make some more if there need be. Nope. You already had that, yeah.
I'll tell my mommy. Just a quick announcement. I've just got pinged here. Laura Brown has created a meal train for the Rucker family. So if anybody wants to, is interested, Jessica will have that posted on social media and all the appropriate places. So.
Sunday mornings we've been studying from the book of Micah the last two Sundays, and I knew I was going to be gone next week and the following week, so I asked David if I could use his period, this normal Sunday evening period, to finish up Micah. So that's why I'm here. I know some of you are not that familiar with Micah, so I'll try to lead into what we're going to talk about tonight. As you can see up there on the board, on the screen, it says the book of Micah. And most of the prophets, their names have meaning. Micah means who is the Lord. Micah, he prophesies to the southern kingdom. That brown area that you see, I don't have my pointer with me, or do I? Yeah, I do, okay. Always lose this. Okay. Yeah, Micah, he prophesies to the southern area, the kingdom of Judah. And there was a northern kingdom, which is that blue area. Okay. At the same time that Micah was prophesizing, Hosea was prophesizing to the northern kingdom. And a little before him, Amos was prophesizing. Okay. Isaiah was also prophesizing at that time. Okay. Their message... And the message was similar for all four of them. And that is that you have done wrong. Both kingdoms have done wrong. You have worshipped other gods. You've worshipped idols. And now you need to face punishment. Judgment is coming your way. It comes for the northern kingdom first. In the way of the Assyrians, they capture the northern kingdom and they carry it away into exile. Later on, the southern kingdom, Judah, same thing happens to them, but a different country, Babylon. Babylon is the one that brings judgment on them. So Micah, being the prophet for the southern kingdom, he points out what they have done wrong. He points out their sins and therefore the need for judgment. First two chapters, you can see what that's all about. And by the way, on your handout, on the back part of it, what did I just drop? Okay. Drop part of my mic. Okay. fixes it. Yeah, on your handout, the first two chapters, you can see this talking about the judgment, mainly, and the judgment is to come, why it needs to come. The chapters 3, 4, and 5 is mainly about the Messiah and his coming, which we talked about this morning. By the way, Micah, he has probably the clearest prophecy of any of the prophets about the coming of Christ. He not only does he predict it, he predicts where? Bethlehem. And as you'll only find that in Micah. Okay. It tells us a lot about the coming of the Messiah. And he will bring peace as well. Tonight we're going to look at chapters 6 and 7. And of course the main message here again is about what you have not done right. You've done wrong. You need to face the judgment. In chapter 6, we're going to start out there and we're going to read the first 5 verses. Hear now what the Lord says. Arise and plead your case before the mountains. Let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O you mountains, the Lord's complaint. And you strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a complaint against his people. And he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? Testify against me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, from Acacia Grove to Gilgal. That you may know that the righteousness of the Lord. Okay. All right, so before this, God had made his complaint against Israel. And now he asked Israel, what's your complaint against me? Notice that in verse 3. Testify against me. How have I wearied you? How have I hurt you? And then he tells them some of the things that he had done for them. He mentions that I brought you from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage. They were enslaved in Egypt, weren't they? Okay, so he took them out of that. And I brought you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Aaron and Miriam, they were, that's the brother and the sister of Moses, wasn't it? Okay. All right, so they were the ones that helped counsel the Israelites along with Moses. So I did that, God saying, I did that for you. And then when Balak was, and Balaam, that was a false prophet, wasn't it? Yeah. False prophet that was sent to harm Israel. And God refuted them, didn't he? Moses refuted them. Okay. So, basically, God is presenting a couple of things that he had done for them. He could have said a lot more. I've done much more for you. But he didn't. He just brought these two cases. These two things. And so he's asking, how do you answer that? How have I harmed you? What have I done wrong to you? Okay. Now, the people, he had a very strong case against them, didn't he? What had they had done against him? Remember some of the things? Okay. They were worshiping idols, weren't they, this time? That was a big thing. That was what he had a major case against. And the rich were oppressing the poor. That was another transgression. Many of them were lying. Many of them were stealing. They were basically committing, I guess you could say, all 10 of the Ten Commandments, they were violating. So God had a severe case against them. What was their case against God? Okay. From there, well, let's go on to verse 6 and 7. This is the people's answer. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before High God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Okay, what's the response from the people? God is asking him, how have I wearied you? And now what's their response to that? It's not the people, it's not Micah saying for the people, can I bring a bunch of sacrifices to make amends for this? Can I even give my firstborn? Yeah, that's what's going on here. Micah is stating the case for the people. They're asking, can I make a sacrifice for this? And as if Micah is saying, that is not enough. That will not do. Because he answers in verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Okay. You probably heard that 1,000 times before. But it's very well said. Yeah. I think Micah was speaking for the people, and really there was no answer for all the sins that they had committed. And again, most of the people did not repent anyway. But if they had repented, they couldn't have done enough sacrificing, is how Micah is answering. You could bring rivers of oil, is what he's saying. And even killing your firstborn is not going to make amends for all that you've done wrong. Okay. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. And the reason is because you have not had the, you would not have the heart into it. Okay. The last part of that verse 8, walk humbly with God. He's wanting them to repent with wholeheartedly, we might say. Yeah. Much like in Joel and Hosea, well, I have Hosea on this slide. Joel and Hosea, they ask them, the people, to repent. And then when they repented, they were to do it with their whole heart. Okay. All right. So, oh, on the slide, this is from my book, and it paraphrases that Micah 6:8. Do justly is to do right toward God and man according to the divine laws. Do love, mercy, or kindness is to show warm compassion towards your fellow man. And to walk humbly with God is to show complete reverence and submissive obedience toward God. Okay. So we can say none of that were they doing. And this is what God wanted them to do. The sacrifices would have never been enough. This is what I want you to do, right there. And in Hosea, look, remember from Hosea when we studied it? It says, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Hosea had told them to show mercy toward their fellow man. And then in Joel 2:12-13. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fastings, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Put it all in your heart. Okay. Wholeheartedly turn back to the Lord. Turn to your Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. So in all three of those prophets, the response was the same. You must turn back to the God. You must repent, and it must be from your heart. All right, comments, questions? How many of you remember Brother Lyon, Mac Lyon? Some of you remember him? Okay. He had a sermon one time, one Sunday, and this was the main text of it. That is, testify against me. What have I done to weary you? And he used that text because we could use that for modern day America, couldn't we? Have I wearied you? You Americans, how have I wearied you? How have I harmed you? And yet you have turned away from me, turned against me. Okay. Very valuable lesson. God has been there all along for us, but we've turned away from God.
Thank you.
ask for forgiveness? Yes. Mm-hmm. Certainly. Mm-hmm. For the right reason, yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right, let's go on to the latter part of chapter 6. I'm going to read 9 through 16 now. The Lord's voice cries to the city. Wisdom shall see your name. Hear the rod. Who has appointed? Are there yet treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked? In the short measure that is an abomination. Shall I count pure those with the wicked scales? And with the bag of deceitful weights. For rich men are full of violence, her inhabitants have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore I will also make you sick by striking you, by making you desolate because of your sins. You shall eat, but not be satisfied. Hunger shall be in your midst. You may carry some away, but shall not save them. And what do you rescue, I will give over to the sword. You shall sow, but not reap. You shall tread the olives, but not anoint yourself with oil. And make sweet wine, but not drink wine. For the statutes of Omri are kept. All the works of Ahab's house are done. And you walk in the councils, that I will make you a desolation, and your inhabitants a hissing. Therefore you shall bear the reproach of my people. Okay. All right, so what's the Lord saying to Israel here? Yes. Mm-hmm. They were cheating the people, weren't they, with the scales? One thing. What else did he say? Full of violence, spoken lies. Mm-hmm. So he's presenting his case again, as he did earlier, telling them all the things he'd done wrong. And as a result, you're going to face the punishment, just punishment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. You're exactly right. Mm-hmm. He's making his case against them one more time, just as he did earlier. Okay. And the last part of that verse 16, he's talking about their idol worship there, isn't he? Okay. Omri, he was the king that was the father of Ahab. Okay. And Ahab, what did he do? What did Omri and Ahab do? They reintroduced the worship of Baal. That's what they did wrong. That was their big sin, and they led all of Israel back into it. Okay. So the works of Ahab are done. The statues. He's talking about the idols that they set up during Omri and Ahab. Okay, and then notice that very last part. Therefore, you shall bear the reproach of my people. Okay, what do you mean by that? Shame will come upon them. They will feel the shame of the entire world. Think wrong of them. Okay. All right, so this is what is going to happen to them. Let's go on to verse chapter 7 now. And here, Micah is speaking a lament for the people. He says, woe is me, for I am like those who gather summer fruits, like those who glean vintage grapes. No cluster to eat of the first ripe fruit which my soul desires, the faithful man has perished from the earth. And there is no one upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net, that they may successfully do evil with both hands. The prince asks for gifts. The judge seeks a bride, and the great man utters his evil desire. So they scheme together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn. The day of your watchman and your punishment comes, nor shall there perplex thee. Do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. For son dishonors father, daughter rises against mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. Okay, stop there. What is the thought of Micah here? What's he saying about the people? Can't trust anyone. Everyone is corrupt. No one knows how to do good. Okay. Now we know there was a few good people, but for the most part, most of them were corrupt, doing wrong, telling lies. You didn't know who you could trust. Okay. And in Brother Haley's book, he said that this read like a modern-day American newspaper. disagree. Yeah, I think so, don't you? Who do you know to trust? Who can you trust? How sad things have come. Okay. That's the way it was in Judah at that time, and very much so today. Okay. Yes, there are many good people, but for the most part, turned against God, gone away from God. And that's what Micah was up against. All right, so their only course was to repent, right? And God, and Micah still lets them have that option. You can repent. You can come back to God. And if you do, God will forgive. God will relent from doing the wrong, doing you harm, if they will repent. Okay. Notice the prayer that's given in verses 14 through the end of the book. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your heritage, who dwell solitary in a woodland in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old, as in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt. I will show them wonders. Okay. The nations shall see and be ashamed of all their might. They shall put their hand over their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall crawl from their holes like snakes of the earth. They shall be afraid of their Lord, their God. And you shall fear because of you. And then notice what he says about God here, verse 18 through 20. Who is God like you, pardoning in iniquity, passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. He will cast out all our sins. Death of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob, mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. Okay, so Micah gives a song of praise there, doesn't he? How great is our Lord, great is our God. And who is, it's like he's saying, who is a God like Jehovah? And notice the things that it says on the slide. He pardons our iniquity, takes away our sin. He passes over transgressions of the remnants of his heritage. He does not retain his anger forever, for he delights in mercy. Who will again have compassion? Subdue their sins and cast their sins away. Give truth and mercy to the descendants of Jacob and Abraham. Promise from days of old. Okay. All that was in that last part. Okay. What a wonderful God. That's what he's saying. Micah giving praise to the Lord. Wish we had time to go into more depth in the Micah. It is a wonderful book. But I think you get the flavor of it. The people had done much harm, sinned much against the Lord. Micah, well, he speaks for the Lord and he says, I must punish you. Judgment must come. And it does come. Okay. time's about up. Any comments or questions? Yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right. Their only option was to make a sacrifice. And it was only putting it off for a little bit. Yeah. Okay. All right. If you're wondering when we're going to do the rest of the prophets, that'll be next quarter, the latter part of next quarter. We'll be looking at the rest of the minor prophets.